for the Pharisees. The idea that the prodigal would ever be able to find forgiveness or even to find his way home was beyond all comprehension to them. In their mind, here was a young man past the point of no return. He's lost forever, gone for good, and good riddance. There was absolutely no room in their theological system to account for someone like the prodigal son. In Luke the 18th chapter in verse 9, Jesus describes these Pharisees, and the King James Version says, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. This kind of rebel kid, this prodigal son, would have been on the top of their list of despised ones. In their mind, this man was beyond saving. And so, when Jesus tells a story about the boy's repentance and the father's response, it represented an unwelcome kink in the story. Because suddenly Jesus' tale takes a wrong turn in their mind. Because in the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus presents a very serious challenge to their entire religious system. We said before that the crisis in the pig pen was the turning point of the story. And now we see this morning that this kid repented. And when he decided to make a change, ladies and gentlemen, it was not some kind of superficial thing. He's not thinking he's going to come home and play upon his daddy's sympathy. This is not a scheme on his part to move back in and to regain what he lost. He's not coming home to pick up where he left off. This repentance is genuine. It comes from the heart. It comes deep from within. And for the first time, if you look at the story, for the first time, this young man acknowledges that his father has been good. And that he was the one who did wrong. Not partial wrong. He had been completely wrong. And he knows he's not worthy of anything. Nothing. Zero. Look closely at verse 17, verse 18, verse 19. When he came to his senses, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. He doesn't try to evade his sin. He faces it squarely. And rather than running further and further and further from home, he makes a decision to turn his heart back to home. Rather than scheming some more, he decides to confess and throw himself upon his father's mercy. His foray into sin has been a disaster. And whatever was waiting for him at home was nothing compared to what it was like to live in the pigsty. You talk about somebody hitting bottom. This kid had hit the bottom. You know, it's not easy to look in the mirror at yourself when you've hit bottom. It's not easy to accept responsibility and to admit I am helpless. But that's what he did. But it's interesting to me that the father's point of reentry into the story occurs first in the mind of this young man. And that's significant. Because it is the first time that he has thought about his dad that he didn't shun the thought. Now, he knew that he could not go back to the life that he left. He knew that he has thrown that away. He's cast that out. That's out of the question in his mind. And yet, as he thinks, even the lowest of his father's servants fared better than did he. And it got him to thinking. When you compare how he left to now how he comes back, it's quite different. When he left, he did not care about his dad. When he left, he wanted as far away from home as possible. When he left, he just wanted out. But now, there's no more evading responsibility. Now there's no more evading accountability and morality. Instead, he wraps his arm around it and comes home without any blame. No excuses, no more running. Look in verse 17. How desperate was he? He says, I am dying here with hunger. I am perishing with hunger. That's no hyperbole. He has reached the point that he's literally starving to death. And that's where repentance begins. It always begins with an accurate assessment of where we are. And I'm convinced that's why we initially resisted. Because pride kicks in. We don't want to admit that that's where we are. And we think, like he did before, that we can dig ourselves out of this hole. Because after all, I have to preserve my dignity. I have to preserve my self-confidence. I have to preserve my honor. This kid didn't have any dignity left. He had no self-confidence. He had no honor. He had come to the end of the road. And he says, by his own admission, if I do not turn my life, I will die. And suddenly he gets a new perspective. I don't know if you noticed, but in verse 17 and verse 19, the words hired servants mentioned twice. That doesn't mean a lot to us. But I can't imagine what that meant to him. Because in that economy, the hired servants would represent the lowest of the low. The poorest of the poor. The best way we can comprehend that, the day laborer, the migrant worker, the person hired to do the job nobody else would do. In that economy, it was not uncommon for households to have servants. And the servants of a household, if it was a righteous man, would have been accepted as part of the family. They would have their own living quarters. They would have clothing allowance. They would have the necessities of life. And they would be skilled in what they did. That's different. He's talking about coming home to be a day laborer. The day laborer was homeless. The day laborer was unskilled. They didn't have anything. And the boy begins to think, and he thinks to himself, listen, the day laborers that my dad hires, at the end of the day, at least they go home with money in their pocket and food in their belly, and they even have leftovers, he said. And I don't have anything. Which speaks volumes about his father's generosity and compassion. And he begins to see his dad in a whole other light. I don't think he's ever thought about his dad like that before. I'm not sure he's thought about his dad much, period. His whole world had centered around me, myself, and I. And suddenly in the pig pen, he gets a heavy dose of reality. And he thinks to himself, you know, in all of my travels, I don't know if I've ever met anybody as kind as my dad. I don't know that I've ever met anybody as generous as he is. You know, the pleasure-seeking lifestyle, the party crowd, those folks are not exactly conducive to the principles of Jesus, like generosity and kindness. And like, after all, begets like. And when you are around worldly people and choose to be around worldly people, that's what you're going to get. And that's what he got. And he's thinking to himself, I've been there, done that. I don't want any more of that. And so he makes the decision to come home. Now then, I'm not sure we really grasp sometimes what repentance is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, repentance is not a mood swing. Repentance is not a shift in my opinion. Repentance involves a whole new way of thinking. It is a soul-shattering, life-altering, attitude-changing, wholesale U-turn and headed home. And that's where he was. Now, as Jesus tells the story and the Pharisees are listening, at this point in time, they have to be wondering, where's this going? Because in their minds, two things are evident. Number one, the Father has been shamed by the Son. And secondly, the Father has shamed Himself by giving in to the Son. And so in their way of thinking, here at this point in the story, here is the opportunity for the Father to recover His honor, the Father to regain His self-respect. The boy, he's written off already. There's no way, as far as they were concerned, that he could come back. He is unforgivable. This kid ought to be disowned. He ought to be denied. He ought to be publicly humiliated and denounced as dead. It would be the only way to restore the honor and the dignity of this father. But you see, the Pharisees didn't know this father. They also didn't know Jesus. Something very, very special happens when a sinner finally breaks. When you look into the mirror and you see yourself looking back. And he knew. He knew that if he kept going this direction, he is headed toward death and destruction and damnation. And he knew that he could not keep going. And so finally he turns toward the one from whom he has been running. That's amazing. People can spend an entire lifetime hiding from God, only to finally repent. And now, the only thing we want is to be in His presence. And yet, to get to that point, to follow through on repentance, is very humbling. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. But I want you to notice in verse 18, it did not matter to him. I will get up and go to my Father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I want you to look closely at the words, sinned into heaven. That's what it literally means. It's like a massive pile of guilt in his mind reaches from earth to God. Like a mountain that rises up into the heavens. He says, my sin is like that. I want you to hold your finger here. I want you to go back to, I found a verse that says that. In Ezra 9 and verse 6. We'll come right back here, but I'm going to give you time to get to Ezra 9 verse 6. I want you to look at Ezra's assessment of sin in this same vein. Ezra 9 verse 6. And I said, oh my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift up my face to you.
My God, for our iniquities have risen above our heads, and our guilt has grown even to the heavens.
That's where he was. That's where this young man was. And when he makes the decision to turn and come back, it's not about saving face. No excuses. No expectations. No asking for any kind of special privilege. No demands. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he's not coming home to negotiate his terms of surrender. He's coming home and relinquishing all his rights. He's just going to confess his sins and throw himself on the mercy of his Father. And he knows that whatever my dad decides to do, I deserve that. The Pharisees didn't get it. They didn't understand. Because they had no concept of the Father's mercy. This idea of granting forgiveness, pardon, restoration, how would we say that today? We would say that it blew their mind. This boy ought to crawl home. He ought to earn his way back. He ought to be made to beg and to plead, and he needs to work the rest of his life to make up for it, and even then he is non-deserving. Do you know what Jesus is doing in the story? Jesus is getting ready to explore and explode their whole view of God. Verse 20 says, he got up and came to his father. It wasn't enough for him to confess his sin in the far country. He had to go home. He had to face the one that he had wronged. Can't you see him in your mind as he goes home? The trek home was quite different than his outbound adventure. If you remember, when he left home, he had it all. He had everything. He had all of the money. He had all of the dreams. He had all of the answers. And now look at him when he's coming home. He's got nothing. His money's gone. His heart is broken. His stomach is empty. Because he's coming home to repent. And all the way home, he keeps rehearsing those words. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Those words, ladies and gentlemen, reflect what was on his heart. This is not some kind of half-hearted performance. He's not trying to trick his dad. This is the real deal. This is authentic. Father, I have sinned. It is easy for us to read the story of the prodigal son like we do so often and just sort of blow through it as if we know everything there is to know about it. Maybe we don't. And what I'm trying to do in this series of lessons is get you to think that maybe there's something here I haven't seen before. Or maybe I need to see it in a different way. But as we close this morning, I want to consider something with you. Of all of the iniquities the prodigal indulged in, the one sin with the most potential for ruin was the distance he has placed between himself and his father. And now he is determined, before he does anything else, he is determined to remedy that transgression. He had to go home. And he had to face his father. That had to come first. Give him credit. He came to himself. And he made that turn. And he headed home. Where are you in the story? Are you home? With a right relationship with your father? Are you headed out in the wrong direction, thinking you know all the answers? That you don't care about your father anymore? Are you in the pig pen? Are you ready now to finally say, I've had enough of that. I'm ready to get my life back where it needs to be. I want to come home. And we're getting ahead of ourselves in the story. But just wait till you see the father's response when a child of his decides to come home.